If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today. Chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and it is a beautiful and crisp morning here in Texarkana, Texas, November 1st. My wife said to me this morning, she said, "Can you believe we're in November?" And I said, it's exciting. I love the holiday time. And so really November kind of hits the mark of, okay, we're in the holiday season. And we have lots of things going on at First Baptist Texarkana for the holidays, November and December. And we're excited to partake and participate and have that for our community. Lots of events that are good to invite people to, and fun and exciting, and that we can share the love of Jesus. Well, I was thinking today, after looking at the news, and especially as it relates to the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is a very bold and unashamed follower of Christ. He makes that clear, that he loves the Lord Jesus and he is committed to following him. And so what happens to Mike Johnson? Well, he immediately starts to get thrown under the bus, starts to get attacked and vilified, because that's what the opposition does to anyone who dares to say that my worldview it comes from the scripture. I have a biblical worldview. And that's what Mike Johnson said. He's from the 4th District of Louisiana and a member of Cypress Baptist Church, which is not too far from us. And that the pastor of that church, John Frame, has been a wonderful friend to us. And I did a From His Heart Ministries event there at Cypress Baptist some years ago. And he was very, very accommodating and very kind to us to help us out. And so that is a church that God is blessing and preaches the word. And so Mike is a part of that church and a faithful member of that church. It's very exciting to see that the Lord is moving. And Mike Johnson said that it was an act of God for him to become the Speaker of the House. Now, people take issue with that. Jen Psaki said, who does he think he is? A humble brag. It's an act of God. Listen, if you understand that God is sovereign and God is over all, that, everything that happens like that is an act of God. People don't come into power. They just slip through the back door and the Lord's saying, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen." The Lord exalts those whom he chooses, and he has chosen to exalt Mike Johnson to this important position for such a time as this. And we need to be praying for him, because he is going to be the tip of the spear for the left to come after him. And it's not him. They don't hate him. As Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you." Jesus said in all four of the Gospels about the hatred that we would receive as his followers because of him. He says in Matthew 10:22, "And you will be hated by all." Why? "Because of me." Now, you ask yourself the question, why does the world hate Jesus? I mean, Jesus is love incarnate. And for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus came and he healed the sick and he raised the dead and he cast out demons and he fed the multitudes. And he preached the gospel, and the word gospel, euangelion, means good news. He preached the good news. Well, who would be upset with a man, and I say man, he's the God-man, with one who would come in the Lord's name to bring blessing. As he said in the book of Luke, chapter 4, as he quotes from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach." And what did he say? He said, as he begins his ministry in Nazareth, so he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," this is Luke 4:18, "because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Who's going to get upset at that? But the people of Nazareth got upset at that. Why? Because he said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And they started to murmur and say, "Wait a minute, who's this guy think he is? Is this not Joseph's son? We know this guy. He's the carpenter's son." In Mark chapter 6, he says, "Is this not the son of Mary?" Which was a slam, because you wouldn't have said the mother's name. You would always say the father's name. To say that Jesus is the son of Mary, that's a slur in there. That isn't this the illegitimate kid that we've known all our lives? He's the one that was born out of wedlock. You know, people back then, they weren't stupid. They could do the math, and they knew when Mary and Joseph got married, and they knew when the baby came, and so they figured it out, and they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Mary?" And so they got upset. They took offense at him. They tried to kill him in Luke chapter 4. They were going to throw him off the brow of the hill from which on which their town was built. And they didn't like the fact that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. And people today, Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown." And so when you think about, well, why does the world hate us when we stand up for Jesus as a good soldier of the cross? Why do they get so mad at the message that the Bible preaches, that Jesus preached, as the Bible says he went out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand"? Well, they don't like the word repent. They don't like the good news, the gospel, because the gospel is predicated on, although it is good news, it's predicated on believing the bad news. And what is the bad news? The bad news is you're on the highway to hell. The bad news is you need to repent. The bad news is you have a sickness called sin that is terminal, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and people don't like to hear that. They want to go their own way and have the Lord pat them on the back and say, "Wonderful, very good. Yeah, you just keep going your own way, and whatever you want to do is fine with me." Well, we run into the Lord's displeasure with people going their own way right off the bat in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, what happens? Cain offers a sacrifice to the Lord. He brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, his brother, he brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. Well, why is that? Cain became very angry because the Lord didn't accept his offering. Because Cain came his own way, as it says in the book of Jude, "Woe to them, they have gone the way of Cain." Cain came his own way. The Lord said, "You come with blood." When Adam and Eve sinned, what did the Lord do? He slew an innocent animal, and he made them coats of skin, and they saw very early, right after the very first sin, Adam and Eve, that the wages of sin is death. And there was a death there, and there was bloodshed, and without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sin. And so Genesis 4, Cain and Abel come before the Lord. And Abel comes God's way and brings a blood sacrifice, and Cain comes his own way and brings the fruit of the ground. Cain was a farmer. This is what he did. These were the works of his hands. And the Lord had no regard for Cain and his offering, so he got very angry. And the Lord said to him, "Cain, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." And we know the story. Cain ends up, in his anger, ends up killing his brother Abel. And you have there just a snapshot, a picture of why people are so angry and why they hate the Lord, the one who is God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, who is love incarnate, because they don't want God to tell them what to do. And so when you present the real God to people, the God who is sovereign, the God who has the right to say, this is the way, walk in it, and the God who has the right to define morality and set up the parameters of life, well, they don't want that. They don't like that. As it says in Luke 19, the parable of the minas, when the rich landowner went away to inherit a kingdom and then return. Do you remember that parable? Certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas, do business with this until I come back. And then it says this, very insightful, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. That is right at the heart of sin. Why does the world hate a Christian, somebody who's sold out for Jesus, someone who stands up and speaks the word of God and calls men to repent? God is now, as Paul said to the Athenians, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent, for he has fixed a day in which he will judge through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. They don't like the idea that Jesus is going to judge them. They don't like the idea that God would call them out and say that they need to repent and say they're going the wrong way. They don't like the thought, the notion that when they bring the works of their hands, as Cain did, that the Lord would reject that. They want to come their own way. Well, listen, we have to come his way. God is God. He's the king, and the king sets up the rules, and he sets up the parameters. And we have a choice. We can say, yes, Lord, or no, sir. You can't say no, Lord, because the moment you say no, Lord, he's not your Lord. So you can say, no, sir, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow you. And that's what the world has done. And so Jesus said, hey, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And listen, if you want the world to love you, some people do, well, then you need to be of the world. And when we see people, it's so sad to see Christians cave before the world, cave before the pressure of the world. Last Sunday, I preached about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were under severe pressure by King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the most powerful man in the world at that time. And they were under severe pressure to bow before his image, and they were the only three people that day on the plain of Dura, there in Babylon, that said, no, we will not bow. Now, they weren't the only three Jews there. There were other Jews there, but the other Jews, what did they do? They compromised. They bowed, even though the Lord said in the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other God before me, and you shall not bow down to any idols to worship them or serve them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took the Lord's words seriously. And they, as Nebuchadnezzar said in his own words, they trusted the Lord. They violated the king's command and offered up their bodies, so as not to defile themselves, so as not to transgress the Lord's command. And God used them in such a great way because they refused to compromise. But hey, they were hated by the world. And you and I are going to be hated by the world, not because of us, but because of Jesus, because the world hates Jesus. Mike Johnson understands that. And we need to be praying for him as a brother in the Lord, as somebody that God has elevated to a very important position. And when we come back, we're going to play a video clip or a little audio clip of him being interviewed by Kayleigh McEnany, where he talks about these things, where he's getting blasted by Jen Psaki and Bill Maher and others. But he's standing firm. He understands what's at stake, and he wants to be faithful to the Lord. May you and I be faithful until death, because Jesus said we will receive the crown of life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Real Truth for Today. We're talking about the hatred of the world. As Jesus said in John 15, beginning in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And we're seeing more and more and more. If you stand up as a Christian, you stand up and be counted, and you say, as Mike Johnson, the newly elected Speaker of the House, has said, I get my worldview from the Bible. You are going to be maligned and slurred, and so that's just part of the deal. He understands that. Doesn't make it easier. You need to be informed. We need to be informed. Hey, we are going to face this, and so Jesus is forewarning us, but it's still going to be hard when you're right in the thick of it. But we need to pray for God's grace. As Paul said to Timothy, his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, and be faithful until death, Revelation 2:10. And the Lord says, I will give you the crown of life. And so we look to those who have gone before us. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of the faithful, and we read these words as it tells about these guys that did these great things and saw God move in mighty power. Then it gives us these two words, and others. What happened to the others? Well, some of them died. The prophet Isaiah, according to tradition, was put inside a hollow log and sawn in two. The Lord's deliverance, as I shared Sunday with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, sometimes God delivers before the fiery furnace. That's what he did for Peter in Acts chapter 12. He sent an angel on the eve of Peter's execution and delivered him from the prison. Sometimes he delivers before. We love that when he delivers before. Sometimes he delivers in the fiery furnace. That's what he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a greater miracle than even sending an angel and delivering Peter before the fiery furnace. And so either way, that's a great deliverance. And, you know, sometimes he delivers after. Sometimes those who are faithful to the Lord do get sawn in two. They do get burned up in the furnace. They do get thrown and eaten by the lions. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory. And Paul got his head cut off for his faith in Christ. And the Lord took him to heaven, and the Lord delivered him. And what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of God, heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And Paul entered into his great reward, and the Lord did deliver him. So sometimes it's before, sometimes it's in the middle, and sometimes it's after. But the Lord is our deliverer. He's our Savior, our refuge, our friend who sticks closer than a brother, the one who said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So our job, listen, our job as Christians in this world for such a time as this is to be forewarned. The world will hate us, but that's okay, because we're not living for the world. We're living for the Lord, and we're coming out from among the world and being separate, as the Lord calls us to do, to be a witness in this world. So I still remember when I was in college, I heard this from Adrian Rogers, and it's so true. God saves us out of this world, and then he sends us back to this world to be a witness in the world, and that's our only business in the world. You shall be my witnesses. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So we stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of the cross, and we speak the truth in love. And God has put us on this earth for such a time as this. And so we have opportunities to make a difference and to share the truth and to stand up for what is true and what is honorable and what is right. So let me play this clip from Mike Johnson. It's his interview with Jen Psaki, and she's asking him about the hatred that is coming his way.
You know, I come from a Christian worldview. I was very vocal about that as White House press secretary. And perhaps I shouldn't have been surprised, but media wasn't always so friendly to someone with a Judeo-Christian worldview. And in your case, some of the things that have been said, Politico interviewed a historian about your worldview, and this historian said you're a Christian nationalist. It comes from that of Christian supremacy. But what I was really surprised by is Jen Psaki, a White House press secretary herself, typically would be measured with her words, I would think, but in this case, she went so far as to call you a Christian fundamentalist. What do you think when you hear that?
Look, there are entire industries that are built to take down public leaders, effective political leaders like me. I'm not surprised by that. I mean, it comes with the territory. It doesn't bother me at all. I just wish they would get to know me. I'm not trying to establish Christianity as the national religion or something. That's not what this is about at all. If you truly believe in the Bible's commands and you seek to follow those, it is impossible to be a hateful person, because the greatest command in the Bible is that you love God with everything you have and you love your neighbor as yourself.
You know, I want to highlight, and this is truly outrageous, some of these things that have been said, but I'm just very curious about, to your point, a faith that is based on love, that is Jesus Christ, that was what he lived for, can be characterized in such a way. The Daily Beast called you a Christo-fascist. That is the first I've ever heard that term.
Yeah, wow.
They said you're the most extreme example of a dangerously empowered religious fanatic, but here's the line that really stood out to me. They go on to say that your desire to institutionalize your faith is the way of the Taliban and the mullahs in Iran. And then Bill Maher, who we know is not a similar worldview as ours, he went so far as to bring up the main shooter. And he said, we don't know much about the guy yet, but apparently he heard voices. And I thought, is he different than Mike Johnson? I mean, degree, yes, but it's thinner than you'd think. What is it like to be compared to the mullahs of Iran, the Taliban, and the main shooter?
It's just disgusting. I mean, that is absurd. Of course, our religion is based on love and acceptance. So to compare that worldview with the Taliban, who seek to destroy their enemies, or with, you know, some deranged shooter who murders people, is absolutely outrageous. And I think everyone who follows and believes in a Judeo-Christian worldview should be just terribly offended by that. I'm okay, I'll take the arrows. I understand it comes with leadership, and when you step into the fray, that's what you take. And but what really hurts me is that it really is a statement about everyone who believes in this, that the country was built upon. Our Judeo-Christian foundation is the heritage of our country.
That was Mike Johnson, the newly elected Speaker of the House, talking to Jen Psaki. And he's taken the arrows, and he knows he's going to get that. And it's just going to get worse as far as the attacks on him. And so we need to be praying for him. Pray that he would stand strong, and pray for other people, other Christians that are in those positions that the Lord has placed them, because we can make a big difference. And listen, we are called, if you understand, hey, where is the hatred coming from? Well, the hatred is not coming. Jesus said, they don't hate you, they hate me. And so because you love me and because you stand in my word, therefore they're going to hate you. And Jesus said, you know, they called me Beelzebul. And let me find that scripture. He says in Matthew 10:25, it is enough for the disciples that he become as his teacher and the slave as his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, that's another name for the devil, how much more the members of his household? That's what they called Jesus. And, you know, when you do the research on that name Beelzebul, you go back to the god of the flies. And the Phoenicians were a very pagan people, and they noticed if they would see some kind of rotting animal carcass on the ground, or some kind of animal dung on the ground, they would walk by it, and then all of a sudden they would see these white worms in it. And we know that the white worms were maggots eating that filth, and then those maggots turn into flies, and they would say, look at this, life comes from filth, and they would bow down and worship that. Well, that's what that, when you do the research on Beelzebul, that's where that comes from, the Lord of the Flies. And that's what they called Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who spoke the worlds into existence, the God who is love incarnate. They called him the Lord of the Flies. You know, when they did that, Matthew chapter 12, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Then Jesus warned about the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin, I believe, is when the Holy Spirit of God opens your eyes to the truth and you say no and you reject it with your eyes wide open. You know, if you reject the Savior with your eyes wide open, then you cannot be forgiven. If you reject the forgiver, Jesus is the forgiver, then how could you ever be forgiven? So the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to, with eyes wide open, say no to Jesus. Well, that's the only sin that can't be forgiven, because you've rejected the forgiver at that point. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we're talking about this subject, the world hating us, and it's a subject we return to a lot on this program. You know, there's certain things in these last days that we go back to, certain scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. That's one that we go back to time and time and time again, because the Apostle Paul told Timothy there is coming a day when men will not want to hear the truth. They're going to want to have their ears tickled, and we're in that day. And so they're going to turn aside, Paul said to Timothy, they're going to turn aside from the truth and turn aside to myths. And we have to be faithful to preach the word and to be ready in season and out of season and to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. And remember this too about the world. The world hates the true God, so they want to turn God into their own image. They want to create a God who approves of their sinful lifestyle. They don't like the fact that God has rules. They hate the Ten Commandments. Why? Because those were written in stone. They're not, you know, penciled on a scratch pad. They're not written in the sand and subject to erasure and amendment. No, they're carved in stone by the finger of God, and they don't like that because they want God to approve of their sexual immorality. They want him to approve of everything under the sun, and God doesn't do that. God is holy, holy, holy. So another scripture we go back to very often is Exodus 34, when Moses asked God, "Show me your glory." Then the Lord passed by in front of Moses. He hit him in the cleft of the rock. He said, "You can't see my glory. You can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. I'll just show you the edges of my glory, the backside of my glory." And he passed by and proclaimed in front of Moses, the Lord God. Who is he? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. I mean, who's going to get upset about any of those characteristics of the Lord? They don't like this. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. That is who God is. And so we bow as Moses, it says in Exodus 34, verse 8, and Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. God's resume, so to speak, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, two important verses for every Christian to memorize, because that is God telling us about himself, who he is. Well, we have a first-time caller, Mike, on the line from Texas. Mike, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve.
Hi, how are you doing, Mike?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make sure, like, I know you were talking about the interview that Mike Johnson had.
Uh-huh.
And the interviewee, or the person that was interviewing her, was Kaylee McEnany. She was a former press secretary, and I know you said a couple times that was Jen Psaki doing the interview.
And no.
There's a big difference between the two.
Yeah. I hope I didn't say that. No, it was Kayleigh McEnany that did the interview. It was Jen Psaki that had said these things about him in her news piece. You know, she was, she said it was that she was quoting him and saying, you know, his rise to the Speaker of the House position was an act of God. And she said, oh, what a humble brag that is. And not understanding that God is over all things, but it's typical. So if I said that wrong, Mike, my apologies. I didn't. Yeah, he was talking. The clip I played was from Kayleigh McEnany, the former press secretary.
Yeah, it was definitely Kayleigh that was interviewing him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I appreciate that, and thank you for pointing that out. And so, and thanks for calling in, first time caller. How long you been listening to the program?
Just started. I take my son to school, and I hear you in the morning when I'm dropping him off. So it's great listening to you, and just appreciate all you're doing. So thank you.
Hey, thank you, brother. God bless you. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And it is easy behind the microphone to say something that is not in your mind, and it just comes out, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't say that, did I? And so I appreciate Mike making that call, because, definitely, he did not get interviewed by Jen Psaki. He got interviewed by Kayleigh McEnany, and Kayleigh loves the Lord. And so we do have God. God has people in positions. God is in control of all things. Everything is working out according to the Lord's plan. I like this illustration. It said, you know, you can board a cruise liner and you can have a lot of freedom on the cruise liner, but you don't control the destination. And God is taking everybody to a particular destination, and no purpose of His can be thwarted. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Let's call in and talk. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about John chapter 15, when Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And we are praying for Mike Johnson as he leads the House as the newly elected Speaker of the House. And he is an unashamed believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And it is what the Lord has given us to live our lives. And he's going to stand up for the truth. And so we appreciate that so much. And we know that, listen, the world is going in the direction that the Lord is allowing it to go. It says in 1 John chapter 5 that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But the evil one is overruled by the Lord. And so just as we read in Job chapters 1 and 2, The devil couldn't do anything to Job unless God let down the hedge. If the devil had his way, he would destroy everyone. But he doesn't. And where man rules, God overrules. Where the devil is working, God is overseeing all that. And as someone well said, God uses the devil as his messenger boy. God is he's in control. He's in charge, and no purpose of his can be thwarted. And there is coming a day when Jesus Christ will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and all those who have put their faith and trust in him in this day and age of grace, we're going to, as Jesus said, rule and reign with him in glory. We are the bride of Christ for those in the age of grace that trust Jesus. And so we know that we win. We've read the end of the story. You read Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the eternal state, and there is no more sin, and there is no more devil, and there are no more rebels. We love the Lord, and we see his face, and it makes absolutely no sense at all to reject God's love, God's grace, God's invitation to save, but people do it every single day. Our job as Christians, even though the hate is going to come our way because we put our faith and trust in Jesus, our job as Christians is to be faithful, to speak the truth in love and point people to Jesus. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And we have another first-time caller, Robert, on the line from Mississippi. Robert, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I also appreciate you bringing up the news about Mike Johnson. It gives us all hope and encouragement knowing that.
Amen.
I do have a question for you about this. We had a pastor this weekend at church talking about the scripture from Matthew 24:39. Basically, it sounded to me sort of like they were saying that there was not going to be a rapture. And I believe that you did a program on that, and I would like to know when that is. And I'd also just like to get your take on you know, how should someone react, because they were saying that this was something that, you know, was like a theology or something that came from the 1800s or something, and been passed down. And I just would like to get your take on that, and I'll just hang up and listen. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Robert. Good questions. So the rapture of the church that is spoken of in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus referred to that when he takes us to the Father's house. That question time is a big question mark for people that disregard the rapture. Well, when does the Lord take us to the Father's house? Because he said he was going to do it. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And it says that the Lord will descend, and he's going to change us. And this mortal will put on immortality, and this perishable must put on the imperishable. And then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And so that speaks of this transformation that will take place. Well, we believe that takes place at the rapture. And then the classic rapture passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul taught the Thessalonians. He wasn't there a long time. He had a short ministry there as far as face-to-face, but he told them that they were to wait for the Savior who was to come. And they were concerned that they had missed the rapture. And Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 told them, no, you haven't missed it. Listen, that's going to come. There's going to be a falling away before the rapture comes. And so they had questions concerning end times, and we read in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians about that. But here's the thing. So the rapture of the church is going to take place. Now, people say, well, the Bible doesn't ever use the word rapture. No, it doesn't. It uses the word caught up, and the word caught up in the Greek is translated in the Latin, where we get our English word rapture, and we get that from the Latin. But to be caught up is really the Greek word harpazo, and it's a snatching away. It's to seize by force. And the big question is, well, okay, when does that take place? As my friend Dr. Ed Heinzen used to say, you know, you can't just explain away the rapture and say there is no rapture. The Bible clearly teaches that. So the question is, where do you put that in your end times timeline? Well, I believe, along with many others, that the Bible teaches that there is a rapture, a snatching away of the church, and it happens before the revealing of the Antichrist, the man of sin, before that seven-year period called the time of Jacob's trouble, we know that as the tribulation. It's 7 years. The last half, the last 3.5 years, are called the Great Tribulation. And what kicks off the Great Tribulation is the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He'll set himself up in the house of God, declaring himself to be God. He'll shut down all the sacrifices that the Jews were giving once again as they rebuild their temple during the first part of the 7 year period. He'll say, I am God, and then you have to bow down and worship me. If you don't worship me, you die. It's similar to what we read about in Daniel 3 when Nebuchadnezzar sets up his image. That's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 13. But then the Lord comes back with his saints in Revelation chapter 19 at the Battle of Armageddon. He defeats the Antichrist and his forces. He sets up his kingdom, and his kingdom will last for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And at the end of that reign, he binds the devil so he can't deceive the nations any longer. At the first part of the 1,000 years, at the end of the 1,000 years, he lets the devil loose, and he gathers to himself rebels like the sand of the seashore to come up against the Lord one last time. And the Bible says that they come against the Lord and his bride and the holy city, and fire comes down from heaven and consumes them all. And then you have the final judgment, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, and Revelation 21 and 22, the eternal state. There is no more devil. There is no more rebellion against God, and everything is fixed and set, and we live forever and ever with the Lord, to use a phrase from the stories that you heard as a kid, and they lived happily ever after. And that is the story of the Bible. But the next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And so that is disputed. Some people get really upset about that. They don't like the idea that we're waiting for the rapture. But listen, the Bible never tells us to look for the Antichrist. We're to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look up and be watchful. Your redemption draws near. So I would be one that says that the rapture of the church is not something that somebody came up with in the 1800s. It is something that the Apostle Paul taught the Thessalonians, and they were definitely looking for the Lord to come and get them. And God wants us to live like that, that at any moment, perhaps today, the Lord could come back and call us home. So we're excited about that. So thanks for that question. Thanks for calling in. We have Carl on the line from Texas. Carl, welcome to the program.
Yes, sir, Jeff. I sure enjoy your program since you've been on. And
thank you.
I just want to say that we got a DVD, and we got it from listening to Janet Rios when she was on the program. And the DVD is called Enemies Within the Church.
Uh-huh.
And it tells what woke is all about. Woke means willfully overlooking known evil. That's what woke means. And I think that's what's behind all this stuff, you know. They don't care about evil, you know. You know that. But anyway, that's what I just wanted to put that in there.
Okay. That sounds good, Carl. Thank you for doing that. Hey, you sound a lot like Don Wildman. I thought I was talking to Don for a second there. Your voice is very similar.
I like Don Wildman. I really like Don Wildman, but that is really a wake-up call. The DVD is called Enemies Within the Church.
Yes. Yes, it is. I think that's on YouTube. I think anybody can watch it. And, very eye-opening. And, you know, I mentioned yesterday the old illustration about the frog in the water that you just keep turning up the heat. That's what's happening to the church today. And the devil is turning up the heat. And we need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to have our senses trained, as it says in Hebrews 5:14, to discern good and evil, and not just be oblivious to the fact that the enemy is at work in our midst. And so as the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times and what Israel should do, it is incumbent upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, to understand the times and what needs to be done. So I appreciate you calling in, Carl. God bless you, my brother. We have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. I'm in the process of studying John chapter 5, and where Jesus, around verse 15 or so, is starting to get into trouble with the religion police for breaking the Sabbath and all that, and he's they're wanting to, you know, to stone him, find any reason they can to kill him. That's where it all kind of hate relationship begins. But my real question is around verse 19, when Jesus is talking about how he and the Father work together, how they cooperate, what he can do, what the Father can do. I mean, of course, I can't wrap my head around the Trinity, and I know this has to do with that, but I just wanted to hear some comments on what you think Jesus is really saying there around 5:19.
Yeah. Okay, good question. Thanks, Jay. Okay, so John 5:19 says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. I think the way to understand that, Jay, it goes back to the passage in Philippians 2, where it says about Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So Jesus didn't lay aside his deity, but he laid aside those things that were inherently his as God. And he lived his Christian life not as God. He was the God-man, but he didn't live it as God. He lived it as a man depending upon God. And so that's why he can be an example to you and me, because you're not God, I'm not God, we're not God. But Jesus didn't live the Christian life as God. He lived it as a man depending upon God. He lived it as a man filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit. And so that enables him to be an example to us, because he said, hey, the way I live the Christian life, you can do that too, because you can be yielded to the Spirit just as I was. And so Jesus didn't pull rank, so to speak. He didn't just say, well, I'm gonna live this as God, because then that leaves you out, that leaves me out, that leaves us out. We don't have that ability. And so he said, I'm not going to live it that way. I'm going to live it depending upon God. So that's why he said, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing, because he limited himself that way to depend upon his Father and to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to lead him. And, you know, I had mentioned this passage, John 5, when Jesus healed the man, because he did it on a Sabbath. And we were talking yesterday about Halloween, and, you know, is it wrong for Christians to dress up their kids as, you know, princesses and kings and policemen and firemen, all these, you know, fun things, and go in the neighborhood? Well, some that have a real strict interpretation of things, they say, well, you can't do that. Well, the Jews did that to Jesus and say, you can't heal on a Sabbath. That is wrong. That is sin. And so they were looking to kill him because of that, because that was the penalty for breaking the Sabbath. So interesting passage in John 5 as Jesus deals with that. Well, thanks for calling in today, and for all of you that called in, and thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's a joy to get to come and share with you every Monday or every weekday morning. And so listen, we always close out the broadcast with shine and share. Shine, let people see Christ in your life, and share. Open your mouth and tell people about the good news of Jesus, and God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.